Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 9 of Chapter 11. Krishna's entering into Dwarka, and the residents of Dwarka are in ecstasy. Yarhyam bhujaksha pasasara bho bhavan.
Yarhyam bhujaksha pasasara bho bhavan.
Kurun madhun vata surid drikshaya. Tatrabdha koti pratimakshano bhavet.
Tatrabdha koti pratimakshano bhavet.
Ravin binakshor eva nastva tavachita.
Ravin binakshor eva nastva tavachita.
Yarhyam bhujaksha pasasara bho bhavan.
Yarhyam bhujaksha pasasara bho bhavan.
Kurun madhun vata surid drikshaya. Tatrabdha koti pratimakshano bhavet.
Tatrabdha koti pratimakshano bhavet.
Ravim vinakshor eva nastha vachuta.
Ravim vinakshor eva nastha vachuta.
Yarhi.
Yarhi.
Whenever.
Whenever.
Ambuja
Aksha.
All lotus eyed one. Apasasara. You go away. Bho. Oh. Bhavan.
Yourself.
Kurun. The descendants of Kuru. Madhun, the inhabitants of Mathura, Vrajabhumi, Va,
either,
Atha,
therefore,
Suhrit Dadrikshaya,
for meeting them,
Tatra,
at that time,
Abda Koti,
millions of years.
Pratimaha.
Like.
Kshanaha.
Moments.
Bhavet.
Becomes.
Ravim.
The sun.
Dina.
Without.
Akshnoho.
Of the eyes.
Eva.
Like that.
Naha,
ours.
Tava,
your.
Achyuta,
O infallible one.
Very nice verse. Oh, lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of the sun. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We are all proud of our material senses for making experiments to determine the existence of God, but we forget that our senses are not absolute by themselves. They can only act under certain conditions. For example, our eyes. As long as the sunshine is there, our eyes are useful to a certain extent. But in the absence of the sunshine, the eyes are useless. Lord Sri Krishna, being the primeval Lord, the Supreme Truth is compared to the sun. Without him, all our knowledge is either false or partial. The opposite of the sun is darkness, and similarly, the opposite of Krishna is Maya or illusion. The devotees of the Lord can see everything in true perspective due to the light disseminated by Lord Krishna. By the grace of the Lord, the pure devotee cannot be in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, it is necessary that we must, that's pretty strong, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with his different energies. As we cannot see anything in the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without the factual presence of the Lord. Without him, all our knowledge is covered by illusion. End of purport. The theme running through this section is the exchange of emotions, and Prabhupada is going away from that theme to the, without seeing the Lord, how can you have emotions? How can you have anything? You have darkness. But earlier, he's amplified that theme. He's described that the residents of Dwarka are on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service doesn't require a cause. Or in Rupa Goswami's analysis of the science of rasa, there are stimulations for ecstatic love. And guess what is stimulation for ecstatic love? Krishna. The qualities of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the sound of Krishna's flute, the smile of Krishna, the glance of Krishna, anything in relation to Krishna. There's it's a nice, I won't go into it too deeply, but there's a nice analysis. Just like there's wheels, and then there's an axle upon which the wheels are resting, and then there's the cart. You know, not like an automobile with a drive shaft, it's just wheels, an axle, and a cart. And when the axle turns, the wheels turn. And when the wheels turn, the cart moves. Brilliant. So, stimulations for the sthayi bhava is the axle. It's the steady sthayi bhava, steady ecstasy, the fact that we're paying attention to Krishna. Our attention has gone to Krishna. And then the qualities of Krishna turn that wheel, turn the axle. And then the wheels turn when the axle turns. It's kind of, you know, normally you move the wheels and then the axle turns. This is you move the axle and the wheels turn. And then the cart moves. The cart is our relationship with Krishna. And in the, all the feelings connected with our relationship with Krishna, or you would say rasa. Because love for Krishna is just, according to what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, bhava is when a particular ecstasy just erupts, like a volcanic eruption. There's nothing that can stop it. And then it subsides. And then another eruption of ecstatic love. That's bhava bhakti. And prema bhakti is there's a continuous, like popcorn machine, continuous ecstasies. And then how they mix makes the relationship with Krishna. That's what the relationship with Krishna is. It's varieties of ecstasies, unendingly mixing in different humors. And there's a science of this humor, that humor, and then there's the primary and the secondary, and there's the stimulations. So the stimulation is, so like, you know, we read Nectar Devotion, there's the qualities of Krishna. In the science of rasa, the qualities of Krishna for one whose attention has been fixed upon Krishna, it stimulates ecstatic love. Those who are on the, in other words, it's, if you're on the platform of Rupa Goswami and you read Nectar Devotion, your popcorn machine is popping. You're experiencing ever-increasing love for Krishna, and Krishna Katha does the same thing. It's just Krishna Katha. Krishna is the object, and the love of the subject is being stimulated by Krishna Katha. And so the elevated Vaishnavas pass their time by discussing Krishna Katha. They're just stimulating one another's ecstatic love for Krishna. So here, the residents of Dwaraka, having already been described as on the platform of ecstatic love, they're meeting with Krishna. Their ecstatic love is being quite stimulated. And they're describing what their feelings of separation have been, that his presence has driven away, and that separation feeling is tatrabda koti pratimakshano bhavet. That's the Bhagavatam language, which is very similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravasayitam, which is kshana, is just a moment. Like, a moment is a fraction of a second. And even a fraction of a second or a moment, just like we sing in our Mangalart, pratikshana svadhana lalupasya, at every pratikshana, at every moment, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is appreciating that his spiritual master, his meditation upon his spiritual master, is that at every moment he's experiencing dhana lalupasya. He's experiencing great happiness, relishing the pastimes of Krishna. Very expert in relishing the pastimes of Krishna, as the translation goes. But at every moment, pratikshana. So here it's pratimakshana. Tatrabdha koti. Koti is millions of years. Pratima is, it's the conjunction, the simile. As millions of years, so one moment for the residents of Dwaraka when Krishna is gone. Every moment is like millions of years. So that's attachment. And that attachment leads to ecstasy. The ecstasy of separation looks devastating, but it's an ecstasy. It's an intensified feeling of love for another person, is what the feeling of separation is. So our Goswamis of Vrindavan have indicated this feeling of separation is even more intense feeling than the feeling of love, or the feeling of sambhog, meeting. When the gopis are with Krishna, something that enriches their feelings of being with Krishna is the anticipation that after some time he's going to go. It intensifies their feelings. Just to put it in a worldly reference, like an immediate worldly reference, we just lost the association of Sundarupa and Sariputta. So some of you may not even know who Sundarupa is, but those who had Sundarupa's association know very wonderful devotee. During the prime of his preaching, he was one of the most powerful preachers in the world of his kind. Powerful preacher. Very, very just shelter-giving person. And Sariputta, I've said this many, many times, I don't know if I could say this about any other person that I've met in my lifetime, that here's a genius. And he's gone. And so the feelings for those persons intensify in their absence, and it makes it more mindful that while we do have the association of wonderful souls, we should take the time to be with those wonderful souls and share Krishna Katha and wonderful loving exchanges, and with that, so with attachment comes ecstasy. It's part of the science of Krishna consciousness, to understand that if attachment for something worldly can give rise to great feeling, what to speak of something that's not worldly? Our acharyas give the example, just like, so it's a metaphor, just like a poor man somehow comes across great riches, a treasure, and then it's lost or stolen. Even more than for a wealthy man, because he's had some time where he's had his wealth, but then it's gone. But a poor man that has nothing, and then sudden great treasure, and then it's gone. Like that worldly experience is seeing Krishna, like there's examples of our great devotees, seeing Krishna, then Krishna disappears. So they make dramas about, you know, people in the desert, and then they find some water, and then the water spills. So that's something material. What to speak of something fully spiritual? Someone that's hankering for Krishna. Krishna comes, then Krishna goes. Disappears. Like Dhruva. Seeing Vishnu, and he suddenly disappeared. He was completely startled. Fortunately, he then saw Vishnu before him. So the references here, Kurun Madhun Vata. Kurun, the place where the Kurus reside, that's Hastinapur. Or Madhun. Madhun means the place of Madhu. So Madhu is Madhupuri. There's this history from Ramayana where before known as Mathura, it was known as Madhupuri because of a very great personality whose name was Madhu, very humbly named the place after himself. Yeah. Madhupuri. And he was a daitya, but he was a great devotee of the Lord at the same time. So Madhun, so Mathura. Or Vrindavan, because there's a relation. Before even Krishna's pastimes, there's this relation between the members of the Yadu dynasty, the Andaka and Bhoja dynasties, with Dwaraka also. I mean, there's this long-standing connection. Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka, the places of the three principal places of Krishna's pastimes. So when you go to be with your relatives, we can understand you want to be with your relatives. When you go to be with your relatives, you're not with us. And this connects with Kunti's prayers, three chapters earlier, where she's also in this dilemma because she's in the Kuru side, at least the Pandavas are descendants of the Kuru dynasty, but she married into that descendants of the Kuru dynasty, but her father's side is from the Yadu dynasty, and the Yadus went to Dwaraka. So when Krishna was in Dwaraka, he was giving his association to the Yadu dynasty, to that part of her family, but missing was the association with the Pandavas. And then when he was with the Pandavas, she knew he was missing, they were missing him terribly in Dwaraka. And this was conflicting her emotions. She was happy to have Krishna with her, but then not with her family members. And then when she was with her family members, vice versa. So her prayer to Krishna was, take away this identification with the body, this relative, that relative, take away the material portion of my attachment for you, leave just the spiritual. So in the reverse way, the residents of Dwarka are saying, when you go to be with your relatives, it's understandable, but we're without your association. And our attachment for you is so intense that tatrabda koti pratimakshano bhavet becomes one kshana, one moment becomes millions of years. We've all had the experience, we're waiting for someone that's important to us, or waiting for a bus, or someone's going to pick you up, and they're late, you know, and each moment that passes, how many times you look at your watch and wonder, are they going to come? Is everything okay? Maybe they had a problem. And moments become long periods of time. Long periods of time. That's the part of the science of rasa. When you're experiencing attachment for a person, something is very important to you, moments become long periods of time. And what to speak when the object is Krishna, what to speak of when you're on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. That's pretty intense. One moment is millions of years, and each moment is another million of years, millions of years. It's a long wait. Then they say, "Oh, infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of the sun. Ravim vinakshnor iva." There's the iva again, pratima and iva, like eyes that are without the sun. So we become like that without you. Nas na tava achuta. Without you, it's like eyes without the sun. Or shunyayatam jagat sarvam. Same as Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Shunya means void. Or the world becomes vacant. You know, like a lover pining over the beloved. What's the use of life? I don't have my beloved. Everything is in my beloved. My beloved is gone. What's the use? Everything becomes vacant. So another way of saying that is, there's eyes, but the eyes that can't see you, they're useless. It's like eyes that there's no sun, because without light, whatever the seeing capacity of the eyes is useless. When it's completely pitch black and there's no electricity, no sunlight, no light, the eyes can't see anything. And their statement is, our eyes, it can't see you. It's useless. Shunya yitam jagat sarvam. Govinda virahename. Viraha, the saint, is used in the 10th chapter. Viraha, separation. Virahename. Their feeling of separation on the spiritual platform is like that. It's not based on something temporary, you know, losing something temporary. Losing your money, losing your wallet. I was visiting Mid-Tennessee, Nittai Gaurasundar, some time back. He said a month before, Niranjan Swami was very kindly had come to visit him from Boston to Mid-Tennessee, and then on his way he was going to the Ukraine, and he had his wallet and he had all this money he was taking to the Ukraine. U.S. dollars and I don't know what other currency. Just, you know, his money that he was going to give to the devotees for the yatra. And he lost his wallet in the plane. He had it when he got on the plane, and he didn't have it when he got off the plane. His passport. He had a ticket 2 days, 3 days later. His ticket, his passport, his credit card, his driver's license, all his ID, all that cash that he was going to be taking to Ukraine was gone. Not like he's a miser. It was to support the devotees, and it wasn't, you know, like a check, you could cancel the check. It was cash. He lost all that money. That's nothing compared to losing Krishna for those who are attached to Krishna. It's like eyes that don't have the sun. So that's what Prabhupada chooses to speak about in the purport. We are all proud of our material senses for making experiments to determine the existence of God. But we forget that our senses are not absolute by themselves. We are not absolute, and our senses are not absolute. We're dependent upon Krishna. Only certain conditions can the senses act. When those conditions aren't met, the senses can't act. And even if they act, they act falsely or imperfectly. That's his statement here. False or partial. And we're so proud of our false or partial understandings that come from these eyes. All well and good for us, but as far as the residents of Dwarka are concerned, useless. But then seeing you, that's the real purpose of the eyes. And then one can see, by seeing you, one can see oneself. Prabhupada has given this example specifically. Self-realization and God-realization occur simultaneously. Very simple explanation. It's pitch black, you have a mirror, you look at the mirror, what do you see? Nothing, because it's pitch black. But when the sun rises, and simultaneously you can see your sun and see yourself. And thus, with that example, similarly, self-realization and God-realization, they occur at the same time, which is what he's saying here. By seeing Achyuta, Krishna, the infallible, one can simultaneously see oneself and simultaneously see all pots and plates, he says. things, objects. And one can see them as they are, that in the light of Krishna. So that's what enlightenment means, to see things as they are, not see things according to our filters, our sense gratification filters, but to see things as Krishna sees things. We're not, that doesn't mean we become Krishna. It means that we can, by the agency of Krishna, we can see. I'll read this again. It is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with His different energies. So those are three things. Us, the Lord, and His energies. And that's pretty much everything. So that how does this apply to us? You're going along in life and we're trying to be Krishna conscious and something grabs our attention. A problem grabs our attention. And just by material conditioning, our attention goes to that problem. Means away from Krishna to the problem. And what do we see? A problem. We can't even see the problem correctly. What's the use of our eyes? What's the use of it? Because our capacity is fully dependent. Now let's have a devotee go along the path of life and here comes a problem. Now what does the devotee do? Their attention goes to Krishna because they're attached to Krishna or at least trained to think of Krishna. So they think of Krishna. Krishna! You've sent a problem. What's your intention? Not like, hey, can you remove that problem? But what is the service that you'd like from me with this problem? So if I stay focused upon thought of Krishna, then I can see whatever that circumstance may be an advantage. But the advantage could also draw our attention away from Krishna, just try to be the enjoyer of some advantage, some facility, something. And then what about those things that are prolonged, like, you know, they last a long time, problem that doesn't go away, a mountain that stays right in front of your path. The principle doesn't change. One should see Krishna. One should turn one's attention to Krishna or keep one's attention upon Krishna. There's a really nice passage in the second canto of the Bhagavatam that I relish very, very much. It's a simple exchange, but it's very instructive. Comes, I think, in the fourth chapter. Fourth, the beginning of the fifth chapter of the second canto. At the end of Panchatattva says he likes overview, so here. The end of the first canto is the meeting of Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. And what precedes that is the description of the qualifications of both, which tells us the qualification of a receiver, the qualification of a transmitter. But it's personalized by the qualifications of Maharaj Parikshit, the qualifications of Shukadeva Goswami, and they meet. So it's like, you know, expect some electricity here. Because there's a receiver and here's a transmitter. So sure enough, Maharaj Parikshit asks some ecstatic questions and three chapters of answers, Shukadeva Goswami giving the answer. So it could have ended. But it didn't end because Maharaj Parikshit is a great receiver. So he asked more questions. More questions and more questions. Because the answer to what's the duty of a person about to die is to hear Krishna Katha. So he says, hey, Krishna Katha. And the Krishna Katha that he wants is, could you please explain how the Lord, who's all spiritual, brings about the material world? How does matter come from spirit? How does all good comes this mess? How does he do it? And it's not just he wants a technology lesson. He wants to understand how he does it. He wants to understand with deep realization. So there's like a whole, practically a whole chapter of questions that make up the next four cantos of the Bhagavatam for Shukadeva Goswami to answer those questions, which he does one by one. And he does them in very interesting ways, including having Maitreya answer those questions to Vidura. Anyway, so Maharshi Parikshit has asked the questions. Shukadeva Goswami now has some service, just like we may have some service to do. Here comes a problem, here comes an opportunity, here comes something down our path of devotional service. And what do? You don't just focus on the problem or the service. You focus upon Krishna. That's what Shukadeva Goswami does. He turns inward and offers prayers to the personality of Godhead and to his spiritual master Vyasadeva, his father and the one who has taught him, Shukadeva Goswami. And he just stays absorbed in that consciousness in the course of glorifying the Lord and Vyasadeva. He answers his question. He doesn't move from that position of his connection. He stays with that position of his connection. And in the words that he expresses, he answers his question and then elaborates upon it. But he never moves from that position. We need to learn that art. Just like, for example, supposing you have some experience in your Krishna conscious life that gives you some nice realization, like, I really need to do this, or I really need to work on that. And what happens is, usually, we completely forget where that inspiration came from, the connection with Krishna. We just go busy ourselves with the Karta Hamiti Manyate program, doing this or avoiding that, and forgetting the connection. That's called Maya. Although the inspiration was Krishna consciousness or connection with Krishna. Therefore, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with his different energies. The next sentence, last sentence, go the other direction. And we cannot see anything. In the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without factual presence of the Lord. Without him, all our knowledge is covered by illusion. And what happens if you follow the plan of illusion? You end up in illusion. You don't end up in happiness. You end up in illusion. And illusion hurts. It's painful. And we don't like pain. So we want happiness. Got to take the formula. Got to keep Krishna in the front. Factual presence of the Lord. Factual. We were discussing yesterday. He's factually present. He's everywhere. Not like Superman, you know. He's factually everywhere. And he can manifest from anywhere because he's everywhere. And where do you plug in your appliance? You need an outlet. Well, the Krishna outlet is everywhere. It's not, you know, you just plug in. Our plug-in is our chanting of the holy name and our hearing of Krishna Katha. We can plug in anywhere. Anywhere. As long as there's the factual presence of Krishna, we can, you know, by our searching, by dint of our searching consciousness, by proper means. So conclusion, the whole of the Bhagavatam is to present Krishna and attract our minds and hearts to Krishna. That's the purpose of the Bhagavatam. And I read what we read yesterday morning, the final statement. The discussion was about those who are situated in devotional service. In the realm of devotional service, there's no demand from either side. Remember that discussion? With the devotee of the Lord makes filial demands from the Lord. It's not like, you know, a spoiled child asking for something. And the Lord is happy to give. It's an exchange of love. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by His transcendental attraction. He's Krishna. He attracts our minds and our hearts and steals them away from this filthy place, the material world. If only we want to have that happen. He won't force that. But if we, to even the little degree of wanting that to happen, there's reciprocation. Very powerful reciprocation. And that's the Bhagavatam. Okay, any discussion? You've had all the questions so far. Go ahead.
I was thinking of when you were when you were speaking about problems, and when problems come, staying in our relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
I was thinking of attachments that come up so strongly, and I know I'm choosing those attachments over my relationship with Krishna as a conscious choice, and yet over and over again, making that choice and not reciprocating with the loving relationships and the instructions they're giving.
Okay, so that's a true confession. Now what?
I feel stuck.
Let's go to chanting japa. You're chanting japa and your mind wants to go to these other things. But you want your mind to go to Krishna. It's a great place to be in. Then you must move from the stuck position, call out feelingly. Or the cowherd boys, the big serpent is swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So they at night, they take logs from the fire and start beating the serpent with burning logs. Let go. He doesn't let go, he keeps swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So what do? Call out to Krishna. Krishna comes, just places his foot on the hood of the serpent. It's over. Nanda Maharaj is kidnapped. They saw him. He entered into the Jamuna River and some being came and yanked him and he was gone. Krishna! Nanda Maharaj is... our king has been kidnapped. Krishna. Or Sandipani Muni is receiving dakshin from Krishna. I have one son who's departed. Can you bring him back? So it's just depending upon Krishna. And so individual strength is not sufficient. Krishna, your strength. And because otherwise I have no shelter. So that helpless dependence or helplessness, or in the language that we just read yesterday evening, predominated. And he's the predominator. So we're dependent upon him. So the hesitation is, I don't like to be dependent on somebody. I want to be independent. That's where to go with feeling. Call. Anything else?
Maharaj, you described that the feeling of separation can be an ecstasy greater than the actual presence of Krishna. Is there this feeling of separation still in the spiritual world?
Yes. Yes. It's part of rasa. There's rasa in the spiritual world. There's taste, there's mellow, there's enjoyment. And that, it's not that Krishna goes away, but the anticipation of Krishna going away. Or, because it's yoga maya, it's his own potency. So Mother Jasoda is with, Nanda Maharaja with Krishna, and then Krishna goes into the pasturing ground. And Mother Jasoda has to stay back. She's not a coward boy. So she has to stay back. And there's a very, very sweet description of this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Mother Jasoda, it looks like a nagging mother, but it's the affection of transcendental love, of motherly affection for the Supreme Lord, as if her dependent child. Krishna is going to the forest. Gopa Kumar is there, and he's describing. She, thing after thing, she runs after him and, wants to adjust his belt. And then okay, mother, I have to go now. And so he goes a few steps and she runs after him and she, adjusts his ornaments. Couple more steps and she puts something more in his lunch pail. Couple more steps and says to Balaram, in case he's hungry, you make sure he has something. Couple more steps and just, then Nanda Maharaj finally comes and says, you have to stay here now. We have to let Krishna go to the forest. There's feelings of separation. And so many varieties of that. The cows, at the end of the day, they've been with Krishna all day long. And now they have to leave Krishna. They don't want to leave Krishna. They just sit there and moo. They cry. They want to be with Krishna. But those who have been feeling separation from Krishna all day long, they want to bring Krishna and bathe Krishna and dress Krishna and feed Krishna and prepare him to take rest so he can go out to the pasturing ground again the next day. The cows are mooing in the shed, in the goshal, the cow barn. Moo. They want to be with Krishna. Sometimes Krishna knows how much they're feeling separation. So he sneaks out and goes to the cow shed to be with them. Because he knows the love of his devotees. So there's feelings of separation in the spiritual world. But it intensifies the state of, or the magnitude of feelings of love. Separation, even the anticipation of separation. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.